Let's just talk like we do on the phone at night.
10-4.
You spend enough time in this town, you get paranoid.
You get subpoenaed.
You on the phone, Mike?
I'm right here, Charlie.
Big time lawyer, Mike Ratta. Hey, bro, it's better not to put stuff down, is it?
It just depends, bro. I mean, in my business, I keep copious notes of everything. So, yeah.
Okay, why don't you just be quiet for a second? We're going to pretend like we're starting the show and like we never talked to you. So you just sit there quiet. Roll it, Bobby. Doo-doo-doo. It's madness!
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news.
Like most of your stories.
It's false.
No bullshit news.
You are fake news.
You are
no
fake
bullshit
news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie?
That's what we're supposed to do, Bob.
Bullshit news.
Hot dog. Yeah, no shame to my game.
Just a little bit.
Bullshit news.
I'm starting to lose my mind. I'm saying it. Problem is, too much news is bullshit. Where's the stuff?
It's overwhelming.
It's just, where's the stuff? You know, it's not overwhelming, man. It's just not informing people. Nobody getting down to what's really going on. And so, at least from my perspective, when you try to do it, you know the wave that comes crashing over you? Because people are misinformed, not stupid at all. They just not being told.
Well, are they also not demanding, Charlie? We talked about this at one point, too. I mean, are people just extending little or low to no expectations and everybody's succumbing to them?
Well, who's training them to do that?
No idea.
Give them stuff. Yeah, give them stuff. Because the news this week, you remember last week? All right, remember what we did last week, Bob?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you drank it away and killed some brain cells. What did we do last week?
We did a, what did we do? We talked about the news media and not covering stories.
Talked about EMS.
We talked
about the upper police.
We talked about the fire department on a homicide scene.
Right.
Right? Waiting for police forever. Help us. We think the murderer might still be here. Somebody got a bullet through his head and his brain's in his lap. And it's taken what? We didn't have to talk 20 minutes, 30 minutes. 40 minutes.
And what does that say when the fire dogs can't get 911 to call, come to them?
Yeah, so wow. So what happens is, what's the news? Now we got a little soap opera going because this is no bullshit news. This is what we did. So now the chief of police, because here's the thing. The union president, Mike Nevin of the Firefighters Association, is so frustrated that nobody's following up on the fact that his people are exposed to violence out there and can't get police, which is not the fault of the police because they're only running 3 squad cars. Pre-bankruptcy, it was 6 to 8. Now we got 2 to 3. You know what I mean? Like this is some kind of solution. And he's so frustrated that nobody's picking up on the story. You know what he did? He posted the run sheets.
Good for him.
Yeah, but now he's got an obstruction of justice case being brought by the chief of police, who's also the deputy mayor. So the chief of police holds a press conference saying, yeah, he didn't redact names and witnesses in the reports. And so he's somehow potentially obstructed justice. I thought obstructing justice was shredding the reports. You know what I'm saying?
Not bringing it to light.
And so
yeah.
Here we look. He holds a press conference today, but I want to give you something. What it's really like in the streets, okay, for fire and EMS, working real Detroit, you know, where the lights are dark and it's 139 square miles. This is a little something put together. This is the last 3 days, just 3 days, three. Random. This might not even be everything. Best as we could find, real quick, let me just play this.
One Special Agent 59 Squad 1, Oakfield and West 7 Mile. Oakfield and West 7 Mile. Report of the injury accident. Yes, civilians possibly trapped inside the vehicle. Agent 59 Squad 1, multiple patients. Squad 1, we show you en route. Agent 59 around Oakfield and West 7 Mile.
Attention, this Squad 1, you got an ETA on police?
Stand by, Squad 1, we'll try and get you that ETA. Squad 1, Scott has been requested, not yet dispatched, Squad 1.
Entry 59 at Central. Can we get an update on a dispatched police unit or an ETA to this scene?
Affirmative, stand by. Engine 59 still moved out. Dispatch engine 59.
Engine 59, message received.
Engine 59, have some out.
Engine 59, the Scout Cross is still available. Engine 59.
Engine 59, message received.
Engine 59, can we get an update on available Scout?
That's affirmed, so we just checked with the dispatch district. There's still no Scout Cross available.
Engine 59, message received.
Green between Joy and Dover, 13-year-old male who was assaulted. Scout ordered not yet. Dispatch 651 to the running cat.
69 reported as a male behind the location for dosing. Scout requested not yet. Dispatch to numbers 190.
Medic 24.
Can we get Scout on our scene for non-compliant person?
Received Medic 24. We have a request of Scout. Proper patient.
24, can we get a status, Scout? We have an aggressive patient who will not get off our truck and is being extremely hostile with us.
Right, message received. Standby Medic 6, Medic 20. Are you able to leave?
Or not, an individual will not get off of our truck.
Right, message received. We'll give Scout that up. Bedford and Windsor. Bedford and Windsor, 04. Yeah, we're route to Bedford and Windsor. Medic 24, 1104 is en route to your location. And
24, let Scout individual is picking items up and tossing them around.
Just see Medic 24.
1104, please leave that scene.
Said that the individual.
Patient is inside the vehicle and will not get out.
Before
you get out.
Before.
Not inside the vehicle currently.
Message received. Before they are not in the vehicle.
24, do we have any kind of status on PD whatsoever?
While Livernois and Chippewa, what it is, one down, has been requested. Not yet dispatch. Run numbers 184, Medic 1801, Green, West 7 Mile in Cambridge, and reported as a possible suicide progress. Scout's been requested, not yet dispatched. To run numbers 198. Braden Street between Southampton and Chandler Park Drive. In trouble with assault. Have a child called. A 14-year-old male says he's been assaulted by mom's boyfriend. Scout's been requested, not yet dispatched. 25.
Sworn in Evergreen. Sworn in Evergreen. This is for a 20-year-old female who's robbed and assaulted. Out. Not yet dispatched. Numbers 4. Cat is 34. 26 coming for a run. 26. And we have you en route, and your scout's order not yet dispatched.
I'm sorry to be negative.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That's a lot.
That's look, man. That's real. Look, we went bankrupt. You were there, Karen. They predicated a bankruptcy on loosening up money to protect people, quality of life. We borrowed $130 million yesterday, and guess what we got in the news media? Woohoo! It's the first time we got to borrow with anybody holding our hand. You know what most of the money's for? Buying real estate to bundle it for developers. How about we take some money, right, and make the people safe? Visitors, citizens, no. Are you guys pissed?
It's bullshit.
Can I get more than that? I mean, really? Bob, you wrote. So what do we get? We get the chief of police not getting a message. He gonna bother the prosecutor with this obstruction of justice bullshit.
But Charlie, well, and I've said this before too. You know, I know the chief. I like the chief. You got to look at who's running the show.
Well, he is the deputy mayor.
Well, that's a ceremonial title. That doesn't mean anything. And that's for when Mike Duggan leaves town. Somebody has to be in charge while he's gone. As far as we know, unless Carmack has other video, I don't hear about him leaving town. But the issue is that in rebuilding a city, education and public safety have been two major pillars that the city has struggled with.
Forever.
Forever. And that we continue to do so. And why public safety, our first responders, have not been prioritized in all of this restructuring.
Okay. Hey, Mike, you on the line?
I'm right here, Charlie.
Mike Rattai. This guy is a pit bull. There's no lawyer like this guy. I mean, this guy is brass knuckles. You former Marine?
Yes.
You own weapons?
Yes.
You a liberal?
Yes.
Did you get the Hutteri militia kicked free?
We did that case. Yes, we did.
Yes, you did. You also represented Bobby Ferguson.
I did.
And that, you know, I mean, that didn't work out too well, but.
The list goes on and on, Charlie. I've been doing this for 30 fucking years. But I'm ready to blow my own fucking out. Okay.
But you're not bitter.
Yeah. I mean, you guys hit the nail right on the head. I mean, nobody cares about the people that live in the neighborhoods, okay? You think Duggan cares about the people that live in the neighborhoods? He don't give a shit, okay? I mean, if he did, okay, they would take some of that money, like you guys are talking about, and direct that money towards public safety and education, okay? And those are the two things that have been conspicuously lacking from any administration that's run this town in the last 30, 40 years, so.
And you know, look, this is a suburbanite issue as well as a state citizen and a United States citizen, because everybody's money's funneling through town here. You know, we're all together. This is the universal pot of money. I want to know, look, Mike, you don't have to take any case you don't want to. You only take cases that you appreciate. You're now representing Mike Nevin, the Firefighters Association president.
Love him. Love him. Why do I love him?
No, why motherfucking do take the case?
Oh, well, because obviously it's an important case. And the guy is being targeted, I mean, by, you know, Chief Craig, because he had the temerity to call his ass out. Okay? And, they're trying to silence this guy. Because he's been, you know, he's been a lone voice amongst, I like Mark Young. I know Mark Young. I've worked for the LNS. I do criminal work for the LNS. I've known Mark Diaz for
Lieutenant
a long time.
Lieutenant and Sergeant.
I remember Mark
so you
Diaz.
Do you do work for cops.
I've represented a lot of cops in my career.
Okay.
A lot of cops. Okay. And I don't know what the hell we were talking about.
We're talking about why you took the case?
Why I took the case. Well, first of all, it's really when a president of a union like the Firefighters Union comes to you and says, hey, can you represent me? Can you represent our guys? I mean, you know, that's like a, you know, that's a privilege, okay? And and Nevin is a man's man, okay? I appreciate everything he stands for. And he's not afraid of these people. And he's willing to stand up. And he's willing to, you know, yell as loud as he possibly can to protect his members and to protect the people that live in the city of Detroit. And that's the bottom line for me.
Well, I look at this, and I see the mirage crumbling. Like, Nevin is one of the probably five biggest badges in the city. There'd be the FBI head. There would be the chief of police, the commissioner of the fire department, the president of the police association, and the president of the Firefighters Association. So when this guy is out there going, hey, man, what'd he say today? The bullshit stops. Time to open your eyes. They're lying to you. I think he deserves to be listened to.
Well, you know what the main problem that we have in this town is that the press has got no balls, okay?
Say it again, bro.
The press has got no balls.
One more time.
Okay? The press has no balls, okay? Zero. And then the people that run the free press and the news and the people that run 247 have no balls. Ooh. All they want to do is suck up to Duggan. They want to suck up to Craig. And nobody wants to do any real investigative journalism. I mean, the last person that they went after was Kwame Kilpatrick. I always believed that if Kwame Kilpatrick was white, they would have left him alone.
Okay, so, but they didn't, and he deserved it. And so
he got what he got.
I thought we entered into a new era here.
Yeah, right. New era. Yeah, a new era where it's basically, you know, oh, we got a white mayor in there now in the city of Detroit. We better leave him alone. Don't write anything bad about him. God forbid you guys write something bad about a white mayor in the city of Detroit, which is predominantly African-American. It's a fucking joke.
I don't know, you know, because I kicked Duggan's Ficano, Wayne County.
You did.
Kicked his ass pretty
good. Yeah, but they ran you out of town, too.
They run me out of shit.
You want to do real journalism.
He's still here.
I'm still here, but yeah, dude, it's hard. You know, like I'm at Deadline Detroit, which is where this story's 2 weeks old. And you have to develop it. All of a sudden, it's become a soap opera. This is what happened. Then Nevin posted these documents to try to get other people to do it. He probably not in the heat of the moment, not the best moment of clarity for him, doesn't redact names of, you know, witnesses in the reports. Then it goes to he's going to be charged. Then you're here. And then now the prosecutor's involved.
I mean, what kind of criminal charges is she going to concoct? Okay, not obstruction of justice. Okay,
what is obstruction?
Homicide didn't even get to the goddamn scene until after 4 hours. Okay, that scene has been contaminated every which way till Sunday. Okay,
no arrests.
You know,
they're working bankers' hours. Yep, you know, they're called from bed. You know, they're on call.
You know, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, like you said earlier. Okay, if we would have taken the run sheet and ripped it up, okay, and or, you know, shredded it, or if you would have made something up, about the situation, maybe you could say that might rise to the level of obstructive justice. But putting you exercising your First Amendment rights and putting it out there, okay, because the chief basically lied or called Captain Nevin a liar, I'd do the same damn thing.
Yeah, me too. Except I'd be smart enough to, you know, block some names out of it. But again, look, Nevin's a hump. He's pulled hose his whole life. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to...
the right thing.
Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does right thing mean?
Like, he's trying to let people know what's going on.
Which is...
yeah, well...
which is just fucked up.
You know, because nobody's going to write the truth. They're going to, you know, they're going to drink the Kool-Aid coming out, you know, that Craig's pouring. And the people have no idea what's going on. No idea. Unless, of course, you live in the city of Detroit and you call for a car and the car doesn't show up, or your house is on fire and they can't get there fast enough to save your house or the house next door to you.
But I think the issue is, and you pointed out something, we've got a white mayor for the first time in 40 years. And so now everything is supposed to be better. Everybody supported Duggan coming in from the media. Everybody supported what was supposed to be a new, clean slate with bankruptcy. Bankruptcy was a restructuring of debt, not an elimination of debt. We've got some looming payments coming due, and I haven't heard anybody talking about them, including a pension obligation payment in excess of $200 million that's looming. So, you know, and Charlie and I talked about this before, don't compromise the narrative. You know, Detroit is on the comeback. It's a new city. It's emerging from the ashes. But in reality, it's not. And this is proof that it's not.
Absolutely. 100% accurate. And, you know, something else, if I could just throw this in there. You know, nobody writes about how Jones Day came in here and raped the taxpayers.
You're right.
Some lawyers were making $1,000 plus an hour. Okay? Kevin Orr made millions. His firm made billions off the backs of the taxpayers in the city of Detroit.
Okay.
Millions.
I go like this. All right. So, done. Needed to be done. We did it. Where is the focus?
But we didn't come out any better, Charlie. I mean, we haven't. We got rid of assets in terms of Belle Isle, in terms of the DIA, in terms of the water department. The city got rid of assets that, depending on who you ask, either could or could not manage. You know, they said that the state was going to infuse more money into Belle Isle, but yet and still they're raising money and asking volunteers to clean it up. So I haven't seen any changes there. So I'm not so sure what this was supposed to do other than make everybody feel better and think that all the problems were resolved.
I got to say this. I see a lot of cement downtown. Look, you know, I mean, I moved away, but I'd come home every Christmas, every summer. I haven't seen a barrel of cement poured in this city in decades.
But who's inside, Charlie? There was a very small story in Cranes probably a few months ago talking about the occupancy rate. A lot of these places are new and they look good. You got a nice facade. The occupancy, there's nobody there. All these new residential.
They're empty.
Yeah, nobody's inside of them.
So they're shelters. You say they're money shelters, basically. You don't have to pay taxes. You get a little bit of cash from the people. You occupy them at 10%, and you're still making money. Is that what you're saying?
And nobody's inside of
that. And what's wrong with that? Again, what's wrong with redoing a building and having 10% occupancy? It's better than what it was.
Right, but do the things like address the issue of public safety and address the issue, or at least acknowledge the issue that we have relative to education.
Ooh, a rocket scientist. You mean the precious few bucks we have probably shouldn't go to help a dude shelter his money?
Probably not.
Give him a tax break, sure.
Probably not. Charlie, well, I mean,
but don't write him a check.
No, don't write him a check and don't continue. I mean, even when the Brownfield issue, you know, I mean, he went to the state and had, you know, this totally rewritten for his benefit. But, you know, education is a little more, in my opinion, abstract when you talk about investing dollars. But law enforcement is real clear. Pay our first responders. Get more officers. Give them the tools and the resources that they need to do their job.
I need a fucking cop. And you know what? You know why the cops aren't mad at this? Because the cops are the one that told me. The cops are the ones that want this done, Mike. They want it done. Because you know what you got now? You got a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old riding together on the east side doing 16-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, one guy was so burned out, he took a day off so he could hang out with his mommy. With his mommy.
Talk to Nevin about his firefighters, how so many of them got PTSD as well as the police officers. These guys are running ragged, okay? They're running absolutely ragged. And, you know, in the old days, you know, in the police department, you'd have a young cop ride with an older cop, okay? Show them the ropes, you know? Show them the way.
Teach them how to police.
It's the way it should be.
Not like you just pointed out, you got two kids riding their car together. And have no idea what the hell they're doing.
And they know it's fucked up.
And you know what? The powers that be, their attitude is, basically, you don't like it, get the fuck out of here. Okay, go somewhere else. Otherwise, shut up.
And a lot of people are doing that, Charlie. I've told you that there were two people that moved in on my block over the past year and a half, and they did not stay long. They're gone. One lady was from Troy, and another was from another suburb. They wanted to come back and be a part of all this. But public safety is part of the fabric of a quality of life for any city, for any community. If you don't feel safe, I mean, I think back years ago when we had the opportunity to move out into the suburbs, and I said, no, I can't be a person telling you how good Detroit is if I'm driving to West Bloomfield at every night. But shortly after that, bought a new house, Indian Village, alarm went off, called the police, sat there for an hour and a half, which is what took me to go get my CPL. I said, I can't risk my family not being protected. So,
how old are you?
Wow.
I'm old enough to carry, Charlie.
No, how old are you?
I'm not going to sit here and tell you how old I am.
Be proud.
I am proud, but I'm not going to
say. Oh, fake news.
I'm over 21.
I think she's 22.
There you go, Bob. Don't ask me that.
Another woman of a certain age packing.
Yeah, well, I have been for years.
Because she had to. Well, because you felt she had to.
Well, I mean, crime is real. I had my truck stolen out of my driveway. I had somebody try to carjack me at the market in the neighborhood. I mean, so yeah, it's real. It's real.
Well, ask federal judge Burke, Terry Burke.
Yeah.
Okay, who's living in the city? They shot him. He's a federal judge.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting around with a group of young men, 16 to 22. Right the other day on the east side, the last Sunday, shooting the shit. And their dream, they think of the dream about getting out. I go, what does that mean? What do you mean? They said, the suburbs. So I want to go on record to say, you want to know why I live like about 2 miles outside the city limits? Because I can't afford to live in the mayhem, the property taxes that they burden the citizen with, right? The car insurance, the homeowner's insurance.
The forced donation on water, and now water is now being calculated and charged based on the square footage of your property.
What's running off your roof?
Exactly. And I mean, our
what's running off your skyscraper, bro?
All that. So, yeah, it's not cool. I mean, it's really, really, really not cool.
So, I guess the point here is, why are we talking? And I know everybody's like, oh, LaDuff, man, I'm going to fucking turn off no bullshit news. Guys, it's yours too. We're a human family. Think about it, right, Mike? The point is, we don't, when it's really out there, they're not out there for you. They can't be.
Well, it's not their fault. You know what I mean?
They're on other runs.
It's not their fault. They're undermanned and outgunned.
Now you've been all around the world, dude. I forgot this. Have you ever seen? You talked about PTSD. Have you ever seen human brains splattered all over its owner?
I personally have not.
As a Marine, you've never seen a human with their head blown open.
No, I was a peacetime Marine, Charlie. I went in after Vietnam.
Well, I'm glad. I have.
I wasn't young enough.
It fucks you up. Damaged and burned babies, right? Beaten women.
Listen, what these people see on a daily basis? I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, have you ever seen charges or an investigation like this? As a lawyer, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I can't even imagine that's the route that they would take. How about using your head, Chief Craig, okay, and calling up Captain Nevin, and let's sit down and let's hammer this out, okay? Let's have a conversation. No, he wants to silence them, so he's going to use Kim Worthy's office to try to silence them.
Well, yeah.
And like I said today earlier, I said, you know what? Bring it, dude, because that's just going to give me an opportunity in a courtroom where transcripts are generated, where we are going to have a field day, okay, letting the public know. Imagine Nevin testifying. Just imagine, okay, all this shit that I'm going to put in front of him, okay, about what's going on in the city of Detroit. They want that fight. We're ready. Bottom line.
Who's going to tell that story?
Who's going to tell the story?
Oh, that one's easy. Mike, see, that one.
Gonna tell
Mike Nevin, yeah.
She's talking about the media, I believe.
Yes.
Well, that one's, we love that one, yeah. Because you know what? It's sitting there for us. You don't have to work. You show up at 9 o'clock, you go through security, you take out your steno pad, and you regurgitate shit that you should have been doing all along. And that's really the point here.
If they assign him to go out and regurgitate that shit.
Yeah, that's true, right?
That's the thing.
That's boring. Maybe we don't want to do it. Look, I'll tell you what.
There was a rollover accident on 96. Go get that.
Yeah, get that.
The fuck.
Here's what I know. I've received 3 defamation suits or threats from the mayor or the mayor paying for people within the city to shut me down. I've received at least 5 legal letters. Bob Carmack is wandering around with video, and the mayor calls criminal justice system. Mike Nevin speaks out. They call the criminal justice system. Barry Ellentuck, who blew the whistle on demolition, and by the way, a house just, a bid was won and then rescinded once questions started being asked. One house, the winning bid was $100,000 to demolish it. If you want to know how fucked up that is, and that's a red-hot federal investigation that you don't hear about, he was charged with fraud after blowing the whistle, right?
The guy who owned the property?
No, the guy that was inside all the demolition stuff, one of the managers of it,
right,
blew the whistle that they were robbing and cheating and stealing. He got charged for fraud, and he beat the rap in 3 hours. Jury came back in less than 3 hours, haven't taken an hour for lunch.
Wow.
So it's... squelching dissent or information. And somebody got it, you know, Karen, I came in, Mike, I'll tell you, I didn't care if people are listening or not. I feel low. I feel tired. I made a move to get out of it, to be able to do it because, you know, I believe in the mission. I believe in the press. And what we're challenged to do. And all the flowery poetry people talk about what it means. I guess I'm stupid. I believe it. And now I'm sitting there like, fuck.
But Charles,
we got to be one of the only major cities that have a press corps that's got absolutely no guts whatsoever. None. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
I don't want to pile on reporters. You know, look, these are executive decisions. These are money decisions, which
absolutely.
We don't make.
Those are cocktail
absolutely.
Party decisions.
I don't want to disparage
Amen.
Reporters that are friends of mine. And I'm sure there's a lot of them out there that would like to do some hard hitting stories and would like to take the mayor to task or the chief of police to task, but are told, no, you can't write a story like that. Everybody knows it.
We have an administration that is controlling the narrative at every level. You think about the number of media people that have been drawn out of their post and now work for the mayor, and that's for two reasons. They don't eat their own, and they know how the game has worked. So, you know, I mean, and those things are proving, for the most part, beneficial. You don't hear half of the stuff. I mean, I get calls from people that are inside, and it's like, why doesn't anybody know about this? Why doesn't anybody talk about this? Why?
Why, Mike?
I don't know. You guys, I mean, Jared, I think you're on the head. I mean, that's the $64,000 question. Why? Okay.
But, what about our babies, man? I cannot leave them with the shit fire department, and it's not shit. I love those men and women. And a shit police department. I love those men and women, most of them. And the EMS guys? You got a guy tripping out on meth, throwing stuff on the street. There, I know an EMT. She got slashed across the face, took half her face off.
Right.
Remember her?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we need. And look, I don't want, you know, y'all want to come on. Whenever there's a ball game, all the public safety stuff comes out of the neighborhoods to keep it cool downtown. But if you don't even live in the neighborhood, let's say you take a wrong turn, well, man, forget about it.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, let me give you an example. Go ahead, Karen.
Go ahead. No, you first.
You're the guest, Mike.
Look, okay, I've had my office downtown, my homeless my entire career. Okay, you know what? He's got cops, okay, harassing us, okay, who decide we're going to have our law practice downtown, right? You got cops, you know, there's nowhere to park. So I have to ballet, okay, in front of the Penobscot building. It was in front of the Ford building until, you know, they bought the building out and now they're rehabbing it. So now I got to stage my car in front of the Penobscot building. But when we were in front of the Ford building, they've got 10 cops driving around downtown telling you, keep your car moving, you know, otherwise I'm going to write you a ticket. And a couple months ago, I just, you know, I told this cop, go fuck yourself, okay?
You did not.
Why don't you go and catch a fucking bad guy, okay? Don't bother me. I'm paying taxes down here to work in a shithole.
Well, what about the traffic? That was my issue. At 4:30, there are 3, 4, 5, 6 cops on every corner directing traffic.
I dig it. Dig it. No, time out. I like it. That's big city. We got traffic downtown. Listen to me. Well, listen. That's the town I want. I'm not done. I'll make my point. That's the town I want. That's like Chicago. That's like New York City. That's even LA's got that. But guess what? The rest of the city's covered too.
That's my point. But this is the thing.
I stole it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I stepped all over. That's all right. You can have it, Charlie. That. It's your show.
It's our show.
Do that, Charlie.
My point is that
I don't, you know, I mean, and then you've got, they're telling you to go the same time the light is red or green. I mean, you know, do something different. I mean, but they're 10, it's too much for me. So, yeah, I mean, I know, you know, Mike's talking about, you know, the people telling him not to keep it moving and that kind of stuff. But I'm kind of taken out by all the traffic cops. Seriously. I'd like to see them in the neighborhoods.
Well, if they are directing traffic, they're not in the neighborhoods. They don't have that many. I mean, they don't.
I think it's presence to make everybody downtown feel comfortable, you know?
Let me just say this. I'm just
at rush hour.
Reading the report of the Engine 34 pulling up on that scene the other night, right? And, you know, the chief of police saying it took 6 minutes, which is a fabrication. Did not take 6 minutes. Did not. No, there's no way you could come up with that. I know how they did. It's not true, right? But the public safety worker does not want to be out there either. When the cruiser pulls up and that whack-a-mole, shady, murky, shadowy character that the fire department's calling over the radio, hey, man, there's a guy of interest here. The police first unit to show up did not go in there and put their hands on him, ask him to give a statement. He just evaporated. Arrests since the chief got here are down 30%. This means You're not proactively looking for crime. You want to get home. You won't be shot. You shot, you die. Your family doesn't have health insurance.
But Charlie, we talked last week about those who work for the city, not living in the city. Police officers have families, too. And you think about Project 14 that former Mayor Bing tried to initiate in terms of offering some of the available inventory to police officers as an incentive to move back into the city, because we missed that opportunity from the residency component during the Archer administration. They want the best for their family as well. I mean, they have children. They want to go to good quality schools. They want to make it home and make sure that their wives or partners or spouses are safe when they go to the market. I mean, those are the things that they want. So if you wonder why people who work for the city, whether it's an executive or whether it is a first responder, why they don't live in the city, because they can't get the services that they deserve and that residents in the city deserve.
That's cool, because you know what she's saying, Mike, Bob. I mean, police are people.
They are.
They're people. You got to treat them right, or we're not going to treat each other. Hey, Bob, do we got any sound from Mark Diaz? We had him on like the second show,
yeah,
back in like February or early October, talking about what his membership felt. And you know, he's silent on this, and I know why. It's politics and whatnot. But Bob, let's just, from what was that, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Let's throw something random up there, man. Let's nothing gets solved in 2 months. So let's hear what Diaz said.
I know today, as I sit here before you, I have a fraction of the number of police officers out on patrol that I had 24 years ago when I first became a new police officer. That being, 24 years ago, we were well over 4,000 police officers. And I'm not talking about rank, and I'm not talking about the command officers and the supervisors. I'm talking about the boots on the ground, the guys answering your crisis call for help. Back then, it was 4,000. Today, 1,600. We don't have enough police officers here in Detroit. We need more cops. Plain and simple. You know, we are struggling right now with our numbers that, as I pointed out earlier, they've been decimated from what they were. And at this point, our guys are just, they're breaking their backs to do the job we took an oath to do, which is to serve and protect. By that, our number of runs that we're responding to is such that it's really just keeping us from engaging in that proactive police patrol, which is going out there and engaging in those back in the neighborhoods to prevent crime. So we've gone from a position of being able to prevent to where we're reacting and we're responding. Well, unfortunately, our officers aren't able to engage in that proactive patrol we were talking about earlier.
All right,
and that's a huge consideration when we're talking about not taking those guns out. Like you said before,
point made. They don't got cops, right? Mike?
Yes.
We had what, 3 patrol cars working the 10th where the fire truck was. Before the bankruptcy, we had 6 to 8.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's been confirmed that there actually cars working. It might have been 2. But nevertheless, you know, Diaz makes a salient point. And same thing that Captain Nevin said this morning. His numbers are way down, and he needs another 300 to 400 bodies, okay, to provide what do you say, 300 or 400 more firefighters, another battalion at least, to at least try to put the finger in the dike and stop the fucking, you know, the flood.
Well, of course, you know, union presidents are always going to say we need more. So do we take that with a grain of salt?
No, I think, you're talking about a guy who's been out there for 32 years, okay, who's lost 5 of his friends, okay, not to mention the other ones who broke their backs or are in wheelchairs now, okay? I mean, I think he knows what he's talking about. I think he knows what he needs to get the job done.
I think, if I'm guessing right, Mike, let me just guess. Let me probe inside that Neanderthalic little skull of yours. You want this thing. You want charges, don't you? You do. You want to force the issue.
Say it.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Nobody wants to see anybody.
Say
have
it.
To run the
Bring
process.
It, motherfucker.
Okay.
Say it. Say it. Bring it, motherfucker.
I'm just telling you the truth, man. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody get charged with a crime, okay? Especially like a situation like this. But if they're going to be that stupid and they're going to do it, then bring it, motherfucker, okay? Because I will break it off in your ass.
Wait. Okay? I want you to say bring it, motherfucker, again, and I'll break it off in your ass so we have soundbite drops for other shows. Go ahead, do it again.
I said, bring it, motherfucker, and we will break it off in your ass.
Okay, I want you to do it again like this, though. Bring it, motherfucker, and then pause. We'll break it off in your ass. Okay, and give me, really, really work this, like, really, really put something into it. Okay.
Like we're at the drinking at the bar.
Do it again. Okay, and 3, 2, 1. Wait.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Wait, I talked over it. Do it again. 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Okay, that's good.
And
okay.
I'll break it off in your fucking ass. How about that one?
Wait, I talked over it again. One more time.
God damn it. How many times are you going to make me repeat this shit?
3, 2.
Bring it, motherfucker.
I talked over it again. Oh. Hold on a second. Okay.
Be quiet, Charlie. Okay. Let him talk.
And break it off in your ass. I'm directing, Karen. Okay, and 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker. Now break it off in your ass.
Okay, now I want you to say, I'll break it off in your ass without the and. Cut the and off. Just say, I'll break it off in your ass. And 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Cut. Okay.
Cut.
Okay, listen.
Redo.
Get a little drink of the cocktail. You had a Christmas party. Take a deep breath. Okay. Think where you're at. You're in the court. Okay, this is method. This is method acting.
If I was in the court, I wouldn't be able to say that, dude.
Okay, you're in the court of public opinion. 3, 2, 1, action.
Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
Okay, I like that, but just one more, like I'll break it off in your ass.
Sure.
Break it off in your ass. Okay.
Jared, with some feeling this time, Mike.
It sounded good to me, Mike.
I'm directing here. Okay, you just need to go, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to hear
him. I want to hear this.
Hear him nail it. Okay. Okay, like you're Dirty Harry now. Think about it. Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass. Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
God damn, you nailed it.
You nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed it, Mike.
Nailed it, Mike.
Pause for that one. That was good.
All right. But, hey, man.
That's a
hey, wrap.
You coming in to listen. We're collecting experts, so you will be the No Bullshit News Hour legal expert. Would you sign up
Perfect.
For that?
Okay. I'm absolutely, you know it, brother.
Really? Okay, listen, man. I'm going to thank you.
Okay,
Karen got to go. We got to do some commercials, but remember. Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
Peace, bro.
Peace, man. Mike Rath. All right, Karen, you got to go pick up your daughter?
Yes, I do, Charlie. Nice. But can I ask you a question before I go? If we can, just 2 seconds really quickly.
He's kind of, yeah, but he was kind of like all kind of hung up on the ass, isn't he?
I don't know how many times he said it. I don't know, but he was following directions. He was doing you. But, Charlie, just for a second, I mean, I don't know if everybody really understands the level of passion behind your commitment to making sure that the truth be told. What drives you, Charlie?
What drives me? I drive myself.
Not your Cadillac. What drives you, Charlie? I mean, because people don't know. I mean, children are important. You know, the residents are important. You talk often about doing the right thing. You know, we talk about seeing other people who are not doing the right thing, seemingly doing well. I mean, doing right is a struggle. But what is behind this level of passion to make sure that people know what's really going on?
Yeah.
You want to answer next week? Give us some thought?
I'll do it some more next week. I don't know what happened. I got into this biz because I thought it would be a way to travel, and you didn't have to drink the same cheap bottle of wine, the same loaf of bread, and the same block of cheese, which I did for a long time. I love moving.
But it turned out you cared.
And then I got into it, and then I like people, right? So I started writing stories. And then I got here. Well, you know what happened then? 9/11 happened. And then the stone casing around myself broke. I cried a lot. I grew up. I understood the world was a big and tough and violent place. And I tried to mark everybody down, write them down for history because they mattered. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I get home. I get here. And I'm looking, I needed a story. And I said, I know firefighters. I did a lot of them in New York. I'm going to just go to the fire. And when I went there, One guy I know from a long time ago, we were kids, you know, he knew my wife in grade school, and I met Nevin. And I'm looking at these guys, and there's holes in the boots, and the jackets are raggedy, and the tanks are leaking under the trucks. And then I hang out with them, and I see what's happening, and it's fucked up. And I'll be goddamned if I'm going to write 40 more obituaries of emergency workers, because I do really appreciate them. You know, I don't like cops around me, unless I'd call them to have a beer. But I appreciate them. And it just grew from that. And then I get here and I start seeing, wait, where'd the money go? Like, it's easy to blame each other. It's easy to blame a broken home. It's easy to blame a person in a badge, right? It's easy, but it wasn't that way. I started to see it happens through contracts. It happens through connections. That it's a long narrative, not a Coleman Young narrative, not a McNamara machine from Wayne County narrative. It's not a black and white. It's a human thing. I guess I just got older. And I saw it was working. That journalism could have an effect that if you showed people the facts, not the truth, only God knows the truth. But these are facts. And you treat people, your viewers or your readers, your neighbors, with dignity. Like they're not stupid people. And, you know, you show yourself to be a fool, vulnerable, your underpants once in a while. That at first they might not dig what you're doing. But after a while, when things check out and they know you long enough, that at least you know I'm trying. And so I guess the shenanigans got old for people. And I said, I'm not going to just be angry at work. I'm just going to go find a new bottle of wine, a new loaf of bread, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I really do care about it. I love you, Karen. And you know I love you, Bob.
And you love you, too.
You know I'm a fucking, I got problems.
You're Charlie. But that's the part, that's the side of Charlie that a lot of people either don't know or have never had the privilege of seeing. And I know the level of passion and commitment behind what you do and behind what you are and behind who you are. And I think that that makes a difference. And that's why I wanted to ask you that on the air, Charlie, because I think it's important. You do care. And you do something else, and you used to always say, don't say that, Karen. But you do your homework, Charlie, and you bring substantive information forward. You bring facts, not emotion, not guessing games, not, and there is a value in that. So for any day that you may feel that what you do doesn't matter, know that it does.
I appreciate it. Because I see
people care.
I see the stock market, I'll bring this around, but it's starting to crater. You could see the GM's leaving. Big news. Right now, there'll be no GM in Detroit at all. Think about that. This little era here was a time to make a lot of cheddar, stack some money. And I let it go. I did my book and everything. I'm okay, but I was sitting there last night having a beer, thinking about you two, thinking about Mike Nevin, thinking about the people of the neighborhood. And I said, I've been fortunate enough to make some pretty good money. I put some money in the bank, and I'm willing to spend some of it. Because this is exactly what I've always done with Bob. We did rah-rah, the guy let out. You know, we would do it for 5 days in a row. It's still here. I will be there. I will go to Deadline Detroit and get my book. Please get my book for somebody for Christmas. You know, I get like $1 a book. Shit show. The country's collapsing and the ratings are great. My buddy in D.C., you know, the Weekly Standard, that magazine, the neocon magazine, Bill Kristol.
Falling on bad times.
They're going to close it. He called me up and he's scared shitless. My friend Matt Labash, probably the greatest writer in America, nonfiction journalism writer. He writes stories. And he goes, I look at you and I get scared. He said, what you reported, what you wrote, all of it came true. And the New York Times ain't calling you back. I said, I didn't ask him to. And okay, we're going to go in a new way. I'm not waiting for Jim Acosta and then reporting Jim Acosta's shenanigans with Donald freaking Trump.
But, Charlie, you said you grew up. You have moved from success to substance, which everybody at some point in their life should try to do.
Ooh.
So you've made the money, and that's okay, and you will always be okay. You will be. I need you to know that and not be deterred by what you think is not happening at a level of reception for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I'm going to take, you know, I don't want to dwell on it because it sounds selfish, but I do think of others like me, like those people listening, like my brothers. You know, we were the ones that's supposed to grow up, you know, and rob people and cheat and steal, you know, because we're from the middle of the lower classes. That's what was expected of us. But you know what? We don't do it. None of us. We're out there. One of my brothers works in the plant. Another one's a sales guy. Another one's doing flooring. You know, we don't steal. We just want to drink our beer, maybe get in a fist fight, hug each other on Christmas, bitch about going to see each other on Christmas, because we know it's going to turn into a shit show. We are not the sons of judges. We are not the attorneys that are making Flint happen. We're the ones that get up for work and you take it out of our fucking pockets. And we know it's wrong. And you know what they're doing? I'm going to stand in the middle. I will not confuse the public to turn on each other. Well, you know, somebody last night, well, we need a war with the government. We don't need no fucking war. Rule of law. Well, the rule of law oppresses. The rule of law does not. People oppress. You stand up for yourself.
Keep doing what you're doing, Charlie.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Merry Christmas, Karen.
Merry Christmas to you.
I love you. Tell your daughter hello.
Love you as well.
Okay, we can
and
take
you too, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Karen.
If Drew's up there, tell him to come on down.
I will do that.
See you, kid.
See ya.
Bye, Karen.
Okay, hey, Bob, you got some jingle bells?
Got
those bells still?
I will here in a second.
Now forget. I want you to hum it.
Jingle bells.
No, no, I want you. I want you're gonna talk over the commercial.
Hey,
jingle bells, go! You quit on me. Ready? And what are you, rat-tight? Come on! I'll break it off in your ass.
That was pretty good. That was pretty fun.
That dude's tough, man.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, yeah. That's a well-rounded man right there. All right, got some bells? Are you doing the bells? Let's take care of some business.
Got some bells coming up here.
You know, coming to you live from the Coney Island studio. Want me to do the other one while you find the bells?
Sure.
Okay. Let's start off with Eddie Zaney. That guy's a great lawyer too, man. You know. Hey, Drew.
Hey.
We're doing commercials.
Hey, Drew's here. All
right.
Eddie Zaney, right? Eddie Zaney, law firm of Eddie Zaney.
Yeah.
That's your guy. Zaney Law, offices in Lansing, Detroit, and Grand Rapids, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights litigation, and personal injury. Here's where you set up the appointment. 517-292-7000. Remember that. 517-292-7000. He covers the state. This guy is great. This guy's great. You know the guy? The guy that stabbed everybody up in Flint?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
well, yeah. Well, you know, he's not being put to death, so that's pretty good.
For him.
He's a good lawyer.
I like real talk, even in commercials.
So when things get zany, you call Ed Zaney. Zaney Law, 517-292-7000. My favorite guy. Y'all better really start thinking, if you have not, of calling Luke Nowacki. Because the market's all over the joint. The bond curve yield has inverted. You know what that means?
It means we're down 571 points right now.
You want to know what the inversion of the yield curve for bonds means?
Well, it can mean there's a recession on the way.
That's the concept. Dude, you know what it means?
Well, though, interest rates are not going to go up. Isn't that what it means?
What it means is this. If you buy a 10-year bond,
you get interest rates are higher in the short run?
No, they're all locked in. So when you buy a bond, right, It's called a coupon. You buy a $1,000 bond at 10%. You'll get $100 a year, mm-hmm. right, for 10 years, plus your $1,000 back at the end.
Right.
Okay, but what's going on there is you're locking your money in at 10%. If interest goes up to 20, right, you don't want your shit locked in at 10.
You're losing.
So you want to go get the 20 over here. So you sell that long-term bond because, look, people want to get the 20%. So the yield, basically, what you buy it for from the guy that paid $1,000, you can buy it for $900. The yield will be $100. When things go shitty, when the short-term rates, you're not sure what's going on, you go to buy those long-term bonds to lock in a profit, that yield. Because it's going now from $100, right? You can buy it for $900. Now you can buy it for $950, $980. People are looking for safe places. So basically, Wall Street is looking for long-term bonds because they're worried about short-term. Get it?
Got it.
That's what it means. And when you see that happen, you got to start thinking about your finances.
Because it's going to be a downturn.
Everybody kind of knows it, dude. You can.
Well, aren't they saying it's being reported that kind of mirrors what was going on in 2008?
Seven, yes, indeed.
2007,
so,
yeah.
So listen, Luke Nowacki, some of us are secure with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations. Whether it be pension planning, who's got that? Okay. Life insurance, college savings plans, which I'm trying to do, or tax-deferred investments, Luke Nowacki can help answer all of your questions and help plan your future finances. You vouch for this dude, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Luke's great. I met with Luke a few times.
Is he handling any of your money?
He is.
I need to meet with Luke.
I think he plunged me in the market yesterday.
He plunged you in?
Yes.
Ooh, he's aggressive. No, you're aggressive.
Well, you know, it was down 800 points, and it was down 500 in the middle of the day. And if
then
you buy in the middle of the day, yeah, you get the end of the day prices. So unfortunately, I couldn't get them right then, but I did lock in about 900 points lower. Not that I'm trying to buy the market.
No, you're doing a little arbitrage.
A little bit.
So what you do is you have your long-term investment. Right?
Yes.
Maybe some property. Then you got a little something for today, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is what Luke does for you. And you know how you get a hold of Luke? I'm going to give you the number right now. Get the pen, everybody. 248-663-4748. I'll do it again. 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. Now's the time to call. I'm serious. I mean, not just because he's advertising. You need to think about your finances. Now, here's the legalese at the end of it. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member of FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. One more time, Luke, because I love you. 248-663-4748. And finally.
He invested in our podcasts.
Yes.
That was looking pretty risky when he did.
I'm going to make sure Bobby get a little bit of Christmas check here. I got the checks,
sure.
By the way.
Sure.
Oh, this ain't an overflowing account, but hey. You got the... okay, good. Yeah, that's good. Wait, how am I supposed to sing this when they're singing that? Okay, I just want you to hum. Just kill. Kill. Okay, ready? Ready, Bob?
Yep.
One, two, three. Jingle bells, Coney smells, onions all the way. Don't forget a side of fries and beer, it's served all day. American Coney Island is the best there is around. Come on in and have a dog the next time you're downtown. Hey! American Coney Island, the home of the world's best chili dog and the original chili dog, located in downtown Detroit at Lafayette, Michigan, right at that triangle. Look for the red, white, and blue building. Oh, now watch this one. It's the holidays. Ship a little taste of Detroit to your loved ones who are somewhere else. Coney kits, yes, Coney kits are a great holiday gift. You go to AmericanConeyIsland.com to place your order, right? Include shipping. And guess what? I'm packing them.
Really?
Because you know I'm a handyman there. So it's
How
a busy
jobs
holiday.
Do you have?
I'm like a Jamaican dude, and I love Jamaican people. Where did that ever come from, like Jamaican people?
I don't know. They were hard workers.
Is that Saturday Night Live or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure I understand it exactly.
That just means hardworking people. I'll do this part-time, that part-time, that part-time, like most people in America, to make one full-time.
Kind of the way they get rides from each other.
Who?
Jamaican people.
And school
kids.
They
seem to pick up a lot of friends and drop off a lot of friends when I'm paying for the ride. That's they all the live American, on one road.
That's the American way. That's how you get ahead.
I thought it was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, American Coney Island, real friends of the show, our first advertiser, AmericanConeyIsland.com. Now, hey, Drew, have you seen Carmack's booty call video yet?
No.
Has anybody?
I haven't.
You think there is one? I'm starting to rethink this.
I didn't know there was one.
I'm starting to rethink it. I don't know if there is one.
If Carmack had it, I feel like he would have dropped it.
You're not referring to when he goes to the person's house four times and he has a baseball cap on, he parks in the garage. Not that video.
No, the one we're told, like, you know, there's humping in the Taurus. Think there's any humping in the Taurus video?
Is there such a thing, really?
And there it is. That's original sound.
Does that exist? Something's happened there. He's really backed off. He dropped his lawsuit, so I don't understand what's going on there.
And so now what happens? You know what he does? He drops his lawsuit and drops Robert Davis. You know, Robert Davis, the ex-felon who keeps filing lawsuits. But Robert Davis now files a lawsuit saying he's not getting information on the mayor's chick. He wants to know if the mayor's chick got any cash, she got any positions, who hired her fireman, you know, the one that's going to put out the fire here. But I know. You're close. She got money, but she got it legally. You know, maybe he does find something, but it goes like this, Drew. There's a pot of money, right?
Yes.
Like the county's got some, and the state's got some, city's got some. And you funnel it through basically a non-profit governmental agency that disperses it from there. Everybody gets their money this way in the health industry. You're not going to find that. But now it's a story, isn't it? Because Davis put her name out. Why don't people on their own go find out if there's money?
Well,
reporters, I'm saying.
I would have thought this would already have been done because we know where he was on certain nights. And I never knew. I wasn't really going to pound him and say I knew what was going on. I didn't. It sounded a little fishy to me. But I would have thought that the person, her picture, her background, whatever connection she had would have already been fleshed out weeks ago.
Interesting. Me too.
Well, and Carmack claimed to have it.
No, forget Carmack. I mean, he's saying the media.
Yeah, I would have thought. Oh, yeah. I think in some certain places, if this is in Washington, D.C.,
Holy shit.
My God, we would know everything by now.
We'd have the New York Post. Telephoto lens, you know, the Sasquatch picture. She's going into the condo.
I'm not saying that's necessarily fair or fairer, but as far as the public interest, there's nothing we wouldn't know.
Agreed. And again, so why are we sitting around waiting for an ex-con to file a lawsuit in order to broach the subject?
Robert Davis is an interesting cat.
He's a weird dude, man.
I don't know him personally, but I never really quite knew what he was doing. I just knew he was very busy.
Yeah, he fought, you know.
He's involved.
If you don't know who he is, he's the guy that's filing open meeting acts, lawsuits on the emergency manager, on the governor, on the demolition. He's a professional pain in the ass.
Yes, he is.
The court system to break stuff open.
I think he's a friend of the people. I think that's his intention.
Do you?
He would have us believe that, I think.
Well,
you know him better than I do.
He's a hitman. He's a gun for hire. There's people behind him that pay him.
I didn't know that until I heard that recently.
From?
You.
Right, there you go. No bullshit news.
But I do think he thinks he's trying to do the right thing by the people.
I'm
sure he'd say that.
I don't think he would do it if nobody was paying him. Because if he was doing right by the people, you wouldn't have stole $200,000 from the Highland Park School District.
True that.
So I'm a realist. I don't buy that. But he does do the public a favor by doing the stuff that we no longer will. And again, you know, it's legal what he does. I know a guy who does this in Dallas. This is just political. He's a political operative.
Right.
How does he get paid?
Let's say this is, okay, you know, so he's not suing me. Maybe he will. I don't, whatever, bring it.
I hope not.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything that's wrong. But if somebody wants somebody looked into, okay, then you would simply say, I want you and your lawyer to see what you can dig up, file lawsuits to dig it up, break open the open meetings. Like, I want all the work product that was going on behind closed doors with the government, and I want you to do it. And
because the person who is assigning with us doesn't want to be mixed up in it, they don't want
right.
the, okay.
You front it for me, right? Because it's heavy what he does. You got to give him that. When you're fucking with the governor and Wall Street and the emergency about the bankruptcy of Detroit,
he takes shots.
He takes shots, and that's probably like how they dug that shit up on him in Highland Park. Oh, you know, they're going to... He's apologized, by the way.
Well, he did served his time, didn't he?
He did his time. He apologized on air through my microphone to the public, and okay, made his restitution. Okay.
How did he do that? That was a lot of money.
Well, he served his time.
Well, he does a lot of lawsuits.
I mean, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was really... That really unnerved me when that happened, because I did, naively, even me... I thought, oh, here's a guy that really cares about the people and really tries to make government, you know, be accountable. And I didn't realize all these people were behind him. I just thought he was just some guy. I didn't know.
Well, and I'm quite sure.
And then when he steals money from kids, essentially, or yeah. people, the government,
yeah,
people, us, I don't know. Suddenly it all kind of went out the window for me, but now I understand it better.
Well, I asked him about, you know, well, who's paying for this latest one about the mayor's check? And he goes, me. So I'll take him at face value. A lot of times it's him. Sometimes it's not. Okay. That's all I'm going to do here. Go to your own ends here. You believe me if you want. I mean, I don't care here or there. I just want to know why no one else is doing it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you, and he's going to probably find some of it there. He will find it. Right? He's getting the emails between the mayor and her and all this, which is, that's what we really want.
Oh.
Yeah.
The details.
Oh.
The emails between the mayor.
Is this a FOIA?
FOIA. And oh. and the city's claiming.
Are there a lot
we
of.
Lost it. Oh, we never received it. He's like, fuck you. Which I dig. Now, watch this. Thanks, Robert. Because I try to get FOIAs and they give me the old, that'll cost $3,000. We don't have that. Oh, fuck you. So, you know, that's cool.
And do we know there's a lot of email going back and forth?
I don't know anything yet.
Okay.
Neither does he, but like. You know, I'm going to FOIA. Everybody out there listening, FOIA what Robert Davis FOIA'd. So if we have 10,000 FOIAs,
right.
Freedom of Information Act is what FOIA means.
I can't.
If everybody does it, and I'll post the template on our website, okay? If everybody files one, there's no way that they could, you know, and we can all go fund me and get a buck and pay whatever thousands they're going to charge us to get our information.
Yeah. Well, a few emails shouldn't cost. I mean, that's ludicrous. That shouldn't cost much at all.
Like I said before, I say, how much has the city spent defending the mayor on the demolition corruption probe? That'll cost $3,000. We don't keep track. Get the fuck out of here. Or Vice.com asked the Detroit police, how many police-involved shootings have there been in the last 5 years, which they're required to keep under that federal consent agreement?
Mm-hmm.
They said, we don't keep track. It'll cost $77,000 and take wow. and take 12 years.
Take 12 years?
What?
Yeah. Bob Carmack says, I want video for the month from the Manoogian. And they said, well, in order to go through it and, you know, block out private parts, it'll cost $45,000.
Yeah.
So that's the new trick.
So that right. that
so
should
thanks,
go to court.
Davis.
Shouldn't that go to court? Shouldn't.
Yeah. Who's going to go to court? That's what the media's got to be doing.
Well, it is you know, what the media should be doing.
Here's what.
Spend some of those profits.
My view of that is that the media is cutting its losses right now. Television news is not pulling in the kind of revenues it used to pull in. So maybe that's the way they cut costs and keep their profits up.
We don't really care anymore. Yeah.
We do news that doesn't cost as much as it used to cost because the revenue isn't as high. Isn't that really fact of life?
I think so. Yeah. I do. I think so.
The thing of it is, they would only have to do it once, because once they got. And then one, they'd never get it again.
You know what I always say? If you make your money off the First Amendment, sometimes you got to take that thing out for a trot.
Right.
You really got to exercise it to keep it strong and limber. Spend some money. And by the way, I know this from my own personal experience. If you do that, and you do it honestly, and you come up with information people can use, what'd you say?
We're 105.
Okay.
Well, it keeps them on their
You'll
toes,
make
too.
Money.
They know somebody's going to call them on things. If they know nobody's, hey, they don't want to spend money doing that. If they really are aware of that sort of thing, then they feel they can get away with more.
Right.
And that's, nobody's going to call them on it.
That's what's happening.
That is what's happening.
Hey, dude, we got any Joe stuff?
We do. Joe went to the Capuchin Soup Kitchen over the holiday weekend.
What?
The Capuchin Soup Kitchen.
You mean the Capuchin?
Capuchin. I always call
it Capuchin. I bought it, Bob. It sounded right to me.
What is it?
It's Capuchin. I don't
And I knew what it was.
Well, is it a long U or a short U? Capuchin?
What is that, the Romanian version? It probably is that. I mean,
probably the Romanian.
I never heard an Italian talk.
Anyway,
like
Joe went to the soup kitchen over the holiday weekend and talked to some people who were out there.
Well, how long is this?
A couple minutes.
Okay. Should we get Joe on the phone while we're doing it?
Sure.
Okay. It's because Joe worked. You know what? Joe's calling me out like, what do I do? I go, you know what? It's a free week, Joe. You do what you do.
Oh, this is his own assignment.
This is Joe.
Intern run amok.
This is Joe. Okay. Bob might have assembled a little of this.
Around 11:30 or so in the morning, and we're stopping by to visit the Capuchin Kitchen on...
he called it Capuchin.
Connor
That's
Avenue.
How you know it's Capuchin.
Talk to people here. See how life is going for them. How you doing?
All right.
Your old pal Joe DeMarco of NBN News. How you doing this
All
morning?
All right. All right, you?
What brings you down here this morning?
Serving the people.
All right. That's good. How long you been doing this?
12 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And rewarding for you?
The look on their faces.
All right.
Joy and happiness.
Have a seat right there.
Scintillating.
Good morning.
Your old pal Joe DeMarco of NBN News. News Hour. And I'll just... Morning, how you doing today?
I'm good.
What's your name?
I'm Father Pagasho.
Okay, so you're with one of the Capuchin monks here?
Yes, I'm a Capuchin monk coming from
Capuchin.
Ethiopia.
He said Capuchin.
I wish you would have corrected him.
Did you hear it?
So today you're feeding people Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
Or lunch?
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
Me, just 2 months here. I'm a newcomer from Ethiopia. Just this one is my first experience to be here to...
Okay, you just came from where?
Ethiopia.
Oh, Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Okay. And so is this, you've only been here 2 months, so you can't... Is this bigger than usual? I mean, you do feed people every day, right?
Yes, every day.
Is this like a usual daily crowd or...
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So it's not bigger than usual?
Yeah.
But you can't speak for historical, like... Years past because you haven't been here.
Mm-hmm.
Savvy. Joe, that was riveting.
Yeah, well, it was the best I could do, man. Short notice.
You could do better. That wasn't bad, Joe.
Did you, I didn't hear the whole thing. Did you have the ungrateful lady in there that said it's all right, but it ain't better than what we got at home waiting on us?
No, the woman who said she came down and pick up some food while she was waiting for her food to be cooked. Yeah, we didn't use that.
Right.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
That was, I kind of thought that was kind of A, ungrateful, and B, why are you even here? You got food at home waiting on you.
Did you ask her that?
You're taking food. Huh?
Did you ask her that?
No, I didn't want to get, she and all her, of her kids with her. She
wait
had,
a minute,
like,
it's like, you're
her.
Like, that's the some obvious question.
Like, huh?
That's the obvious question.
It is obvious, but is she, if I have to ask her, then she's lost. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have to ask her, lady. What the hell? You know, this is for people that are starving who ain't got nothing at else. A lot of these people don't even have a home to go to. You got a home and food in the house waiting on you, and here you are taking away their food. I actually didn't like that.
She was stretching what she had at home, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be that. See... We
she had a turkey in the oven. You know, people like it takes hours to cook the turkey in the oven.
Maybe, so maybe she, you know what? Maybe she was proud and was just saying that too. It's possible. I mean, there's a way to ask. Like, watch this. You be the lady. I'll be you. Okay, ready? Let's just role play a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
Hi there, lady.
So
this
I
is your pal Joe.
Food at home. And
wait, I
got to
ask the question. I got to ask
the
question.
I'm eating your food anyway.
I got to ask the question. I got to hold on.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi there.
Who's the lady, Joe or me?
Joe's the lady, okay, and I'm okay. Joe. Okay. Hi there, lady. This is your old pal, Joe DeMarco from the NBN No Bullshit News Hour Network, where Charlie Duff made me do it.
I did not say that.
So what are you doing here?
We're on our way back from Thanksgiving parade, and we thought we'd stop here and eat some free food while we're waiting for our food to get done cooking at home.
Food
ain't as good as our food at home, but at least it's a snack.
Oh, what are you having today?
All the usual turkey and ham and stuffing and all, you know, but good food, not this stuff that they got here.
You have turkey and ham?
So you guys, you look pretty good. You look like you're doing okay. So why are you here having some food?
Well, like I said, we're hungry. We come back from the parade, and we thought we'd stop here for a snack on the way home, you know.
But not a bad experience for the kids, you know, break bread with, you know, the less fortunate. The food's for everybody. Little brotherhood, is that you're here to spread some cheer?
I didn't go that way, man. I was so floored by the fact that she would say that she had much better
food out of the question.
Home waiting on her, and she's eating the food that's here for the homeless and the poor people who don't have nothing at home.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what.
I was blown away by that.
Here's the growth, and I'm proud of you because you didn't get kicked out. Not bad.
And I went home, and what did I think I had oatmeal that day.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no ham, turkey, none of that waiting on me at home, like that lady did.
Well, listen.
I went home and ate oatmeal that day.
Here's what you can do.
You
can take out that suit that Zany gave you and hang it up next to you and talk to it for the holidays. Poor Joe's eating oatmeal. He got turds in the toilet and no hot water. You want to come over to my house for Christmas?
You know what? The day when I start talking to empty suits is when I've really, really lost it.
Welcome to talking empty suits.
Welcome to corporate America, Holmes.
How long ago was that?
It just occurred to me, talking to empty suits.
Listen, do you have anything to do for Christmas?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Dig up some more news stories.
How about you come over to my house?
All right, that'd be cool.
Yeah, come on over. I haven't finished raking the leaves.
I knew there was a catch.
No, you can come over, bro.
I'll stand there and watch you and keep you company while you finish raking the leaves.
Hey, Joe, we're going to get you a hot water heater. You want some cash or you want a hot water heater? Which one do you want?
I need a hot water heater.
How much they cost?
I priced this one at...
You priced it one?
Home Depot for like $239, something like that.
Yeah?
I overpaid for mine. 3 gallon per minute one.
3 gallon per minute? It's one of those.
It's a small house. I'm there alone.
Okay.
It doesn't need much, right?
Yeah, all right. Dude, we're gonna hook you up and get you a nice woolen coat. How's that?
That sounds good. Listen, I got some more details about this kid that got shot last Friday. I don't know if you want to hear it or not.
No, we really don't want to hear it. Listen, there's an assignment I gave you this week. Did you do it?
I'm going to do that or try to do that this weekend.
Okay.
This weekend.
And you're going to record
because
it.
Because I'm going to try to record it. If I can make it happen,
I'll definitely record it.
You got to record it.
You know what he's doing? Drew?
What's he doing?
I told him to go to the mall and sit in Santa's lap and ask him for an elf job.
Well, I don't know about the sitting in Santa's lap part, but he said he would not do that.
How else are you going to get
a job? Sit on as an elf for a day.
Got to record that.
Yeah, Joe.
If you don't record it, it's not really, it doesn't have much value.
Okay, there's a great.
It'll just be creepy.
It's Davidson.
It already sounds creepy.
Joe, listen to me, man. Joe, listen to me and everybody out there. This is the greatest Christmas radio bit ever. David Sedaris, right? Everybody remember? Sedaris, Sedaris. Where he becomes an elf at the mall for Christmas season. It is brilliant. I want you to listen to that. Get some ideas, okay? Don't plagiarize, but just know what's possible, okay?
Think of the stories.
Sedaris. Yes. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link.
Okay.
I'll look into it.
I'm going to say bye, Joe.
I was going to do it last night, but by the time I got cleaned up, it was 8:30.
Oh, and then you wrecked your car, didn't you? Joe's car fucked up. He fixed it and then backed out of the garage, hit a tree, and blew out his back windshield.
But I didn't hit a tree. I hit a tree trimming truck.
I just worked on
a tree trimming truck, and they had parked it outside the door, and I didn't see it was so dark. When I backed out, I backed into it, busted out my back window.
And now what are you doing?
I've got tape, plastic on the window, but I'm scouring junkyards looking for a new back window.
Oh, fuck.
What color was the truck? Why was it so, was it camouflage?
Orange.
It was dark. Imagine a place where there's no lights and it's dark.
What I normally do is turn my head.
It would be dark.
I turn my head normally. Or when I'm walking to the car, I see this big, gigantic tree trunk.
I didn't see it. My bad.
I've done the same thing.
I haven't.
So,
not lately.
Well, I actually have.
You're coming, Charlie. Don't worry.
No, I have. I had my sister-in-law's car in Alaska, and I was up on a big hill, and it was muddy, and it slid down. I hit a tree. The rear windshield blew out, and then I told her I think somebody shot it out.
Did she buy it?
How old were you, Charlie?
Oh, it was 20s. I ended up, well, to make it look, you know, like.
So she'd call the insurance innocently?
I don't know. I think so. But I gave her a car. I actually gave her a car later in life. You know, I'm trying to, it's like that 12 step. You try to fix everything you did wrong.
Somebody shot.
It's fucking
the
broke. I was living in a tree.
I'm sure it was a high crime area.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you, hound doggy.
All right, I'll talk to you like next week or
Merry
over
Christmas.
The weekend or
see
something.
See you.
Later.
Bye, Joe.
Thanks for having us over, Drew.
Sure.
Hey. See you, Joe.
Later, Bobby.
See you, Charlie.
Try to love each other. And Daddy, I know you ain't no real cool cat. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You made me feel so